day, when will Biden pick a running mate and will Congress pass another stimulus? We'll talk about it today and take your calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. First, let me thank all of you who are a part of our July matching challenge. We exceeded our goals because of your support. It was up until that last moment at midnight, wherever you were across the country, but we were able to exceed our goals. And that is great news because, as we announced on Friday, we took that first action after we've had over 1,400 contacts come in from parents with children in public schools, K-12 or pre-K-12 across the country, who are facing significant hardships, couldn't afford attorneys. But of course, we can do all that legal work for them at no cost because of your support. We've got our cases in California on the singing ban. We've got our work internationally on persecution. There's so much going on. The pro-life cases that we went through on the broadcast Friday at the ACLJ, the government affairs work that we're going to be talking about on today's broadcast. I just want to give a huge thank you to those of you that, even during the time of this uncertainty with this pandemic, because of your financial support last month and being part of that matching challenge, you're helping a lot of families who would not usually be able to afford the same attorneys that the President of the United States uses, or any attorneys at all, because they're going to be facing real hardships if schools don't start accommodating them and school districts don't start accommodating them. And now they've got assistance because of your support for the ACLJ. We continue the fight for life because of your support for the ACLJ. This broadcast that is live to you Monday through Friday, every single day of the week, comes to you because of your support of the ACLJ. So just a huge thank you to everybody in the midst of all this kind of chaotic time. Thank you for donating during the matching challenge and making doubling the impact of your donation. It is great to be able to announce when we have exceeded our goal. And we were worried a bit about it, folks. I'll be honest with you, because it's a time of pandemic and people are unsure about work. And is there a second stimulus we're going to be talking about today? Because there's talks about problems with that, and that would cause significant economic hardships, starting with, you know, the PPP loans that were keeping people on payroll, to the individual checks going out to individuals, making sure there's no evictions, making sure they can put food on the table, and you throw into that the school issues as well. But we also want to do a political update for you, because, you know, by now, we would have known for, you know, what, 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks, guys? 3 weeks. Who Vice President Biden would have picked to be his vice president. Now, then we were told it was going to happen the first full week in August, and this is that week. And then there was a story by one of his staffers, they're kind of hedging on that it might be next week. We're going to go through some of those names, but I also want to ask you, who do you think Vice President Biden is going to pick to be his vice presidential nominee? And do you think they will actually impact the race? Usually, it's been shown that vice presidential picks don't have as much impact as the media will make it out to believe. But we're living in a different time when campaigning is very different. So if they're coming at you kind of directly from, you know, their home studio, it's a lot different than them kind of being the secondary person who goes around the country doing rallies. So the name ID is important here. He's promised that it will be a woman, so we know that. And we can go through some of the choices, some of the likely choices, but I will tell you, for all of us, even those of us like me who have worked on, you know, 4 presidential campaigns, I think, you can always be surprised. Almost always are actually surprised. So, 1-800-684-3110. And do you think Congress will get, how important is it for Congress to get another stimulus bill to the president's desk, and hopefully with that School Choice Now Act? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. As always, stay up to speed at aclj.org, and a big thank you to those matching challenge donors.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So the official DNC date was supposed to be July 13th through 16th. Then it got moved to August 24th through 27th, and it will all be done virtually because of COVID. Same thing for RNC. They didn't have to move their dates because it was a later date. When you're the incumbent, you're always later. So they had a little bit more time. They were trying to do the in-person event. They're going to be doing some of that in Charlotte, the party business. But the main speeches hasn't been announced where President Trump and Vice President Pence and others will be making those speeches, or if they'll be doing them from different locations. That will be August 24th through the 27th. But we would have known who the VP choice was right around July 13th or before it would have leaked, but certainly by July 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. Then they got a little pushback because it got moved to August 24th or 27th. But listen, for those of you who don't watch on Facebook and Periscope, which is most of you who listen on radio, Vice President Biden promised that this week he would make his announcement on Vice President. Take a listen. Do we have the sound?
I'm not releasing the names of all the vice presidential potential nominees. There are a number of women of color. There are Latino women. There are Asian. There are across the board. And we're just underway now in the hard vet of going into the deep background checks that take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to be done. The committees have been formed, and that's underway.
And August 1 is still the target announcement?
Well, early August. I can't guarantee you August 1, but it will be in early August, before several weeks before the convention, I believe.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, it was supposed to be the first week in August. Now do we have the sound where his campaign has started, or can we play that Fox News sound? Because now that, you know, this is the big news today. This is important, I think, probably this VP pick, because of his age. And I'm not saying that he couldn't do 8 years. I'm not trying to make some case like that. But because of his age, and there's been questions about his mental capacity, by, you know, the speeches and being able to deliver sentences in a coherent way, especially coming as a professional politician, has been doing it his whole life, that this VP is important for two reasons: his choice for VP, because one, it would be someone that has to ensure people thinking about voting for Biden, in my opinion, that they can run the country. And then two, they're going to be campaigning in a very different way, almost virtually. So they've got to be someone who is very good, like kind of how I'm talking to you on Facebook and Periscope, you know, direct to camera, but making it, you know, that is someone used to doing that, someone who there's not going to be a lot of coaching time. Now, we'll go through the list in a moment, but I want to play this because now the Biden campaign is hedging. And to me, this shows again, that means that there's probably someone who's right on the edge, maybe someone big, but they can't get them to quite say yes yet. And so they're number two who's ready to go. They're still hedging because certainly it's big news when you make this announcement. All these people would have been vetted at this point, so you know the bad stuff that's going to come out about them, if there is any. But listen, now they're hedging. Take a listen.
This is Joe Biden's choice. He will make it. He will make this announcement when he's ready. There are a tremendous number of really qualified women who he is talking to about this job. And when he's ready to make that announcement, he will make it.
You know, this is interesting. So let me go through some of those names that have kind of been talked about the most recently. One that popped up in the last couple of weeks is not a household name necessarily. It's a Congresswoman Karen Bass. She is the second vice chair. So she's not the head of, but she's the second vice chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. She's from California. She's popped up as a potential nominee. These have all been vetted by the campaign. So they could be the choice. And also it indicates who else will be a top advisors. Who else is on the list to be cabinet officials? Now, of course, I don't think all of his cabinet's going to be women, but he did promise that his VP nominee would be. You've also got, of course, California Senator Kamala Harris. You know a lot, and the Harris allies have been pushing that. A Politico story actually got posted and then taken down that said he had picked Harris to be his running mate. Now, two caveats to that. One, news outlets often have like a story for all of these names ready to post immediately. So it could have just been an accident. But two, they may have thought the announcement was coming and they put it up. I'm more likely to believe that it was probably an accident because they do have so many. It's just a little weird that without confirmation from the Biden campaign that it was going to happen, you would put that up and it would be one that was so high up in the running. And she's been talked about a lot on the race by Joe Biden. He brings her up a lot, even though they really got at it each other. She was basically calling him a racist during the campaign. But, you know, campaigns are campaigns, especially primary campaigns. And then you kind of politicians get over it quickly. Just like a lot of us who are activists, we get over it quickly and we, you know, join our team. We rejoin the team together. Another one, Susan Rice. Now, I want to go to Thad Bennett in Washington, D.C. Then we'll start taking your calls. Who do you think Vice President Biden will pick? Do you think it will happen this week or next week? I don't think he can wait till much longer. And how important is a second stimulus to you? For those PPP loans, for the School Choice Now Act, again, some financial relief, maybe if it's $1,200 or $1,400 for those who qualify, depending on your income. All of that. How important is that stimulus getting through? 1-800-684-3110. Thad, I want to talk about those first three. Karen Bass, to most people, is an unknown, but has become kind of this rising star lately, I think because of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I'm not talking about that in the political sense of Black Lives Matter, but the protest movement, I guess, following George Floyd. The good part of it, not the riots. And you know, she's become more prominent because of her role in the Congressional Black Caucus. So that's one. What do you think about her? I mean, you're on the Hill. I didn't know much about her, honestly, because, again, she's not the head of the Congressional Black Caucus, and she's not from a swing state or swing district. What do you know about Karen Bass for people and why that she would be in the running?
Yeah, she is in the leadership of the Congressional Black Caucus, as you know, Jordan, the second vice chair. I think she makes a lot of sense if you're looking at it from a political lens, if the vice president has narrowed down his options to an African-American woman, which, Jordan, I believe he has done. I know publicly they're saying that it might not be a minority woman, it'll just be a woman. I think it probably will be an African-American woman. So she makes a lot of sense because she's one of the highest-ranking congressional African-American women. And, Jordan, you were walking through maybe why the delay in some of the announcements. I actually think it's entirely possible that they had selected her, that she was going to be the nominee, and then some of her past associations and comments and maybe favorable views toward Fidel Castro and some of the Cuban policies, I think maybe that gave them second thoughts, Jordan. So, look, I think she makes sense in a political wink, but like you said, they have to look at the negatives that will come out, and maybe as people started to realize she was going to be the nominee and some of these things resurfaced and started getting attention, maybe, Jordan, the Biden campaign said, okay, let's take a minute and just make sure that we really want to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard those Castro comments, and she's trying to say, well, that was a long time ago. I think it was like 6 years ago or something like that. So that probably made people nervous. I want to take a call, then we'll go through more of this analysis. We'll also go through the polls as well at 1-800-684-3110 and talk stimulus as well. So we got a lot to talk about today. And of course, there's a lot of work going on at ACLJ. Check it all out at aclj.org. Michael's got an interesting theory, and Michael, I will tell you right off the bat, it's one I still expect could be potential, even though she keeps saying no. And that's so Michael from California on line three. I won't give away what we both believe may be possible. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live. Hey, Michael, can I hear? Can we?
Yes.
Hey, Michael.
Yes. Hi.
You're on the air. No, drop Michael. Okay, well, let me go to Sean. Now, Sean's a little different. This would be an interesting one for Joe Biden. Sean, we hadn't gotten down the list. She was next on the list to go through of like kind of top three. Sean, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You read our mind. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm thinking after Attorney General Barr said that John Bash was looking into the unmaskings, that Susan Rice has just made the top of the list. This way, any investigation will look like it's politically motivated. So I'm going with Susan Rice. That's my pick.
Well, okay. So very quickly, Than, she's controversial. But because of the unmasking investigation that we were talking about, the fact that with our case, you know, they can't get away with the excuse it was other staff, she would certainly be the kind who is very loyal, comes in and would shut it down. She'll lie for you. She will take the bullets for you. I mean, but highly controversial, depending on the others who are available.
And she was also in that January 5th meeting with the vice president. So, look, if that's going to be one of the attacks, yeah. Jordan, maybe he wants somebody else to speak to it. I can see it.
Brings a lot of that stuff up, but, yeah, maybe needs someone to address it more clearly than he can. Always go to aclj.org, stay updated on all of our work. Remember, a huge thank you to those who donated during the Matching Challenge month of July. It's how we do all of this work for free and bring you the radio broadcast every day.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And so first we've been talking about, you know, when will Vice President Biden actually make this VP choice and how important do you think it will be? Let me go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, as we've gone through, Karen Bass. Now, Karen Bass, congressional member from California, second vice chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. And remember, Joe Biden's promised he was going to pick a woman to be his VP nominee. He's also promised he was going to do it the first week of August, and now they're hedging on that. It looked like she was becoming the front runner, and then some sound came out about her praising Fidel Castro fairly recently. Like, and she tried to say, oh, it was when she was young. I think it was like 6 years ago or something like that. It might have been a little longer, but it was not like 25 years ago. So that causes significant issues. Basically, you pick someone like that, you have lost the state of Florida 100%. 100%. And any other states where the Cuban population can have an impact on the race, and some of these that are very close, that's a lot of states, you're losing all of that vote. So that's probably a consideration there. Kamala Harris from California. Again, what's interesting to me, Than, about all three, Susan Rice, Kamala Harris's issue is, one, she called Joe Biden a racist during the campaign, and so they'll have that ad to run about him, Republicans will. But two, she was a prosecutor. Are prosecutors so popular right now with the left, considering they're the ones that work with police to put people in jail and everybody wants to defund the police? The third being Susan Rice. I don't know where her place of residence is. I don't know if it's New York, D.C., or Maryland, but I know that out of those three, none come from a swing state. So none give you anything politically, like in a state. They're not like guaranteeing an important state for you.
And that's a significant thing, Jordan, because the former vice president is going to have to flip a number of states, obviously, to take the presidency from President Trump. Look, I continue to believe that Senator Harris is probably the most likely pick of among those three. Jordan, I think she ticks the most boxes that would help the former vice president. You know, I said in the last segment that I thought maybe Congresswoman Bass was the pick, and then some of these comments made the campaign question it or take another look. Jordan, I think the same could be true for Senator Harris. I think Vice President Biden could have selected her as the running mate, and then maybe the nominee himself, or the presumed nominee, Joe Biden, took another look at those debates and said, do I really want to put someone who said these things about me, made these attacks on me, on the ticket? Maybe that's what's pushed it back. But Jordan, I continue to think that she is probably the front runner among the three. I would probably put Congressman Bass in the second place. I do think Susan Rice is on the list. I might actually put her a little outside the top three if you were to ask me. There's a couple other names that I think are interesting and maybe being considered by the vice president. But if you're asking me who I think the clubhouse front runner is, so to speak, I still think it's Senator Harris if Vice President Biden can get past some of the recent remarks she's made about him.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so you that's your choice, Than? You think it's Kamala Harris?
I think it's the most likely, but I would reiterate and agree with you when you say you're just so frequently surprised by this. I mean, sometimes campaigns, that's one of their main things they want to do, is they want to give a head fake, and then they actually want to announce a name that nobody's thinking of. But if you were asking me to put my prediction on one name, I would put it on Senator Harris, yes.
Let me go to Javier, because Javier in Texas has a theory that I have not given up on yet either. It's not something I'm saying is 100%. But with these delays and with the change in the way campaigns work, I would have said no to this 100%. If this was a normal campaign and President Trump was going around the country doing 20,000-person events and Joe Biden was doing 2,000-person events, I'd say no way. She'd be waiting till later and not face the Trump war that will be the Trump war. But now that it's a different kind of campaign, I think things have changed. But I would let Javier talk about it. Javier from Texas Online 5, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, guys. So it's just a scary scenario because pretty much your VP is going to end up being president. You know, the state that Joe Biden is in, and that's pretty scary. You'd be putting Obama back in office. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, so one, I do not rule out, and I don't think Than does either, Michelle Obama, because though she said no earlier, that was during Than. It would have been a traditional campaign. She would have had to work, travel all around the country to fundraise, but also to rallies. So that's a much more difficult, you know, struggle. Usually campaigns are really tough. And I'm not saying these candidates aren't working hard, though Joe Biden doesn't seem to be doing a lot out there. But President Trump certainly is doing like everything he can possible. This guy works around the clock, and everyone knows that. You can see that even by his Twitter feed, how little sleep he gets with all the pandemic going on, economic issues, and his campaign. But now, Than, that she could basically campaign from home, and she's high profile enough that people would tune in. No, she's not in a swing state, but she's a household name and one who originally I don't think would have wanted to go like face to face with the Donald Trump campaign full on and have to try to compete with that. But I'm not sure she'd be like afraid of. I don't think keeping her out of this would be having to debate Mike Pence. Not saying that Mike Pence wouldn't be great at debating with her, but that's why I keep her in the running still, and why this delay could still be happening.
I fully agree with you, Jordan. This is one of the other two names that I mentioned, and I think if Michelle Obama would agree to be the running mate, I think the decision would be made yesterday. I think this is who the vice president wants as his running mate, but she has genuinely declined to do it up until this point. But there's a couple of reasons why he would certainly pick her. The obvious one is the fact that she is so well known that she would be able to speak on a number of these issues. She obviously is an African-American woman, so she ticks that box. But maybe the two that aren't talked about as much, Jordan, is that this would put the former president, Barack Obama, onto the campaign trail. And that's obviously something that Joe Biden wants very, very much. Also, Jordan, I think one of the things that could be taking place behind the scenes is a conversation about whether or not Joe Biden really would be just a one-term president, whether or not he would run again. Now, look, I tend, if his health were to be out there, it's very hard for me to believe that he would agree to not run again. But if that is the conversation taking place behind the scenes and Michelle Obama wants to run for president in 2024, it would make a lot of sense for her to change her mind and for her to agree to be a running mate and then run as an incumbent vice president in 4 years. So, Jordan, I would tell you this. If she would agree to do it, I think he would pick her today.
1-800-684-3110. We will continue in our second half hour to talk about, you know, why we're not getting the VP choice yet. It sounds like it's not going to happen this week. Now, it could be a surprise that he actually does follow through with it, but his campaign is certainly giving him the option to wait another week. He can't go further than that. I mean, he's got his digital convention on August 24th. So, and he said he was going to announce the first week of August, which is this week. So we'll continue talking about that. We're also going to get into the stimulus issue because this impacts everybody, and there's some uncertainty now in Washington about getting one through the Democrat-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate, and onto the president's desk. So how important is getting that second stimulus to you? 1-800-684-3110. And if the election were held today, who do you think wins? The polls tell you Joe Biden. But the polls told you it also would be Hillary Clinton last time. But things have changed. We have a pandemic. Economics have changed. So if the election were held today, who do you think wins? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We'll go through some of those state-by-state polls in the swing states. A little bit on the national polls. I don't think they matter as much as well. In our second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family. Stay updated as well. On ACLJ.org, we've made two updates to the work we're doing just on behalf of parents in Arizona. So check that blog out for those two new updates. And a huge thank you to all of you who participated in July's matching challenge. We exceeded our goal because of you. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we're talking politics today on Jay Sekulow Live. You know, some of your states, you got primaries coming up. I know we have one big one. There's one in Tennessee. It's become kind of like the race that everyone's watching around the country, Hagerty and Dr. Manny race. And that primary date, the early voting is now over, is on Thursday. So we're actually going to be able to start seeing, you know, election results come in again. So there are some more of those primaries out there as well. That one's become very high profile. Of course, whoever wins that, likely the Republican will almost guaranteed will win unless something bizarre happens to be the next to replace a retiring Republican senator Lamar Alexander. You know, there's politics this week, but we wanted to get into really the big news that was going to be this week politically was that Joe Biden promised. Let's play it again for everybody that he would tell us who his VP pick was the first week of August. And remember, the DNC initially was having their convention July 13th through 16th, so we would have known, 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Now, it's not until August 24th, but he still promised it was coming the first week of August. Now his campaign is hedging. Take a listen.
I'm not releasing the names of all the vice presidential potential nominees. There are a number of women of color. There are Latino women. There are Asian. There are across the board. And we're just underway now in the hard vet of going into the deep background checks that take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to be done. The committees have been formed, and that's underway.
In August, when is still the target announcement date?
Well, early August. I can't guarantee you August 1, but it will be in early August, before several weeks before the convention. I believe.
Okay, so to be several weeks before the convention, it would have to be this week, Than. But now, let's play it, if we have it ready. His campaign's hedging that it won't be. Several means three, two means two. You know, so several means, you know, three. And that's where we are right now before the DNC virtual convention. But his campaign's hedging.
This is Joe Biden's choice. He will make it. He will make this announcement when he's ready. There are a tremendous number of really qualified women who he is talking to about this job. And when he's ready to make that announcement, he will make it.
So again, Than, they are hedging that it might not be this week. Now, I'm not getting that. Does not mean it won't be today. That he doesn't surprise everybody this afternoon or this evening with a big announcement, but or tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday. Probably not on a Friday unless he wants to dominate the cable news shows, the Sunday shows. So it could still happen this week, but they've certainly opened the window now through their campaign spokesperson to delay this to yet another week.
Yeah, I mean, look, what it sounds like to me, Jordan, is that they've made an internal selection unless maybe one, you know, wild scenario comes through. So let's say they've picked Congresswoman Bass or they've picked Senator Harris, except maybe they want to have one more conversation with Michelle Obama. Then it would make perfect sense, Jordan, to make sure that that conversation with Michelle Obama closed out before they actually announced whoever it is they had picked. Jordan, I would just tell you, I don't know if you're going to continue on this topic after this break, but I would throw one other name out there that I actually buy that might be in it. I think that's Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. I think she probably also makes a lot of sense. We talked earlier about how none of these other nominees bring a state into play. I don't think the former mayor would bring Georgia into play. Jordan, I really don't, but I know there are some political pundits that think that it would. So among those five, Jordan, yeah, She's probably the one that would have a strongest play in a specific state.
Yeah, other people still being talked about, I think, would certainly end up in cabinet positions. I think like Elizabeth Warren, I don't think she'd be the VP choice, but I think she'd certainly be in a Biden cabinet. Another one talked about is former Florida Congresswoman Val Demings. Issue with her, she was on the impeachment team that lost trying to impeach the president. She was also a problem for her. She was the Orlando police chief. She is African-American, but does that cause issues with the whole defund the police movement? And then you've got Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. I want to talk about her too when we come back from this break. Then we're going to get more into the stimulus talks as well and get Than's update on that, because the White House looking at what they could even do unilaterally. Share this on Facebook and Periscope if you're watching there with your friends and family. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
J. Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. Again, a huge thank you to everybody who participated by donating during the July matching challenge. They donated to the ACLJ. We just, at those last final minutes, we exceeded our goal. And that is always great when you exceed your goal. Now, it was right up until the final minutes, but we did. So a huge thank you, even in this time of uncertainty, that those of you who were financially stable made those donations. And it's the reason why, as we have now over 1,400 parents that our attorneys are working with, I think 1,000 of those attorneys are already working with directly. The others, attorneys have sent follow-up questionnaires so they can get some more information to figure out, you know, which attorney they should be assigned to. And those keep coming in by the day. And in fact, you know, and so we can do this all because of you. And of course, all the pro-life work and representing the churches in California on the singing ban. And the cases just that are happening around the country, freedom of speech cases that we do. We handle so many that you don't even hear about, some that we talk about on aclj.org, and of course all the international work we do. So check out aclj.org so you understand exactly where those donations are going. But some of it does also come to this broadcast so that we're able to bring this information to you every single day, Monday through Friday, live. Going through the numbers as we see them, telling you about stories we believe are important that may not be getting enough coverage or at least analysis in the news. So a huge thank you to those donors during the matching challenge month of July. We can't thank you enough. We love all of you. God bless you from all of us at the ACLJ and the Seculo family. Let me play this too, just to show you how those donations are making an impact. I was on Steve Hilton's Fox News show, The Next Revolution. It was July 12th. Today is August 3rd. I was on twice, so he's on each Sunday, so two Sundays in a row, giving out that aclj.org/help. The last two Sundays, including last night, he wanted to give updates on where we were, use the new map, show me how many we were representing, and then, you know, we've taken our first action, as you know, in Arizona, which I'll talk about in a second, and then we'll get right back into politics. But this is how your donations really, they impact directly, where you have a host on Fox News updating people about the ACLJ's work on behalf of families who need it. That's where your donations make a huge difference. Take a listen if you're watching, if you're listening on radio, and watch if you're on Facebook and Periscope.
With the help of Jordan Sekulow and the ACLJ, over 1,400 families from 47 states plus DC have reached out to them for help. The president said he wanted direct payments to parents whose schools won't open in the next relief bill. So far, it's not in there. Instead, they're still planning to hand over billions of dollars to school districts that won't even open their schools.
So again, just an example of why we're doing a lot of that. We'll update you more later in the week. In fact, we filed a second. So we filed Friday on behalf of one parent in that school district in Gilbert. We filed a second one on Saturday. So, I mean, our attorneys are working all weekend to the superintendent there. We've also sent a copy of this letter to every school board member. Now, in Gilbert, Arizona, the school board has delegated its authority to the superintendent to make decisions. So it went to the right person first, but we wanted the school board members to have it. Now they all have it. And I will tell you, looks like we'll be sending a similar letter out to another city in Arizona very shortly as well. So there's updates on that blog at ACLJ.org. Back to politics we go. I want to finish the VP talk. So we talked about Val Demings. Now, the one thing she does help that the others don't is she is in Florida. So that is a swing state. But what hurts her is she was the police chief of Orlando and the whole defund the police movement. And I think being part of that impeachment team and failing and kind of was ridiculous looking. I'm not sure that Joe Biden wants to bring that back up again. Another one, I want to get Than's thoughts on this, and then we'll get more into some numbers and then more of your calls and then more into the stimulus. So Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, very interesting, Than. She's very aggressive. She's not from a swing state, but is a veteran who lost both of her legs in a crash. She's a Purple Heart in Iraq. So she would be able to talk to issues differently than candidates that are likely VP choices would be able to.
Absolutely, Jordan. And I think in a normal year, she would make a whole lot of sense. I mean, I personally don't think she'll be the nominee because I think Joe Biden will pick an African-American woman. I think that's probably top on his priority list. The other thing I would say that's maybe a negative for Senator Duckworth is the fact that she comes from Illinois. It's my home state, Jordan. And, you know, for better or for worse, Illinois is just not on the electoral map. Now, look, that doesn't put her any behind most of the other candidates we mentioned. As we mentioned, they do not bring a state with them as well. But, of course, they do sort of check the minority woman box, which she does not. But, Jordan, I can totally understand why she would be vetted. I think she probably would speak to a set of issues that the vice president is going to struggle with. You know, his famous comment about being for the war before he was against the war. I think Senator Duckworth could probably cover some gaps for him in that regard. But Jordan, at the end of the day, I don't think she will probably be on the list, but I certainly see, or she will be the nominee, but I can certainly see why Joe Biden had her on the list.
So this is an interesting call. Let's go to Cheryl in Texas on line 6. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. I love your show, and I learn a lot.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the information in. I know we provide a lot of it for you so that you're as informed as possible every single day.
Well, I have my opinion about Biden.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but I'm a regular housewife. I'm 74 years old, and I don't believe Biden is choosing a VP runner. He's in the background. You've got the deep state that are doing it, and Susan Rice is who I think is going to be. It's a setup. They've already set that up, and Obama's going to run Biden.
Well, that would be interesting. I mean, listen, I think he would govern very similar to Barack Obama, but actually further to the left because of where the party has moved, Than. So I think that, you know, Susan Rice is certainly in the mix. She is really close to the Obamas, very loyal to them. And I think the only difference between Biden and Obama is that Biden is going to be further to the left because he has aligned himself with Bernie Sanders. He's aligned himself with groups that even Barack Obama would not.
Well,
I think if you're going to look at a Biden administration, Jordan, I think what you would see is it would look almost exactly like the Obama administration with a couple of noteworthy additions, namely Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So you're looking at Obama left, if you ask me. And really, I think Joe Biden feels like he has to do that because of the current atmospherics inside the Democrat Party. But if anybody out there thinks that Joe Biden is going to run more to the right of Obama than Obama was, I think you're just absolutely fooling yourself. He's going to move to the left as a governing administration.
I'm going to go through just a few of the other names. So Than talked about, we talked about Val Demings, talked about Ward, we talked about Tammy Duckworth, we talked about Rice, Kamala Harris, Karen Bass, the kind of one that hangs out there, Michelle Obama. Others, though, that are still included in the running is Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Michigan governor. Now, she would not be an African-American woman, but that was not his promise. His promise would be a woman, though many believe it will be a woman of color. A Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, New Mexico governor, Michelle Grisham, have all gotten some vetting by the Biden campaign as well. So you see how, I mean, this could be very surprising who ends up being announced. From Bass to Harris to Rice to Michelle Obama to Elizabeth Warren to Val Demings to Tammy Duckworth to the Atlanta mayor, Lance Bottoms, to Michigan Governor Whitmer to the New Mexico Governor Grisham to someone else that hasn't even gotten on one of these lists, honestly. So, you know, that's where we are right now. I want to see if we have any more final calls on that, because I want to get into the stimulus issue as well in the next segment of the broadcast. So do we need to take any more on the VP choice? Okay, so kind of close that part out. We're going to move now into, because we're staying live, you know, we're live with you folks. So I want to get to the stimulus conversation with Than, because that a lot of calls about that, and the issues on the polling. So talk more directly the Biden-Trump matchup as it stands right now. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Let me announce this as well. On tomorrow's broadcast, Sean Hannity will be joining us for the full second half hour of the broadcast. The full second half hour, Sean Hannity will be with us on Jay Sekulow Live. So for the second half of the show, Sean will be here with us on the broadcast. He's talking about a lot of issues. You know, he comes on, we're supposed to just be talking about the fact that tomorrow... And you can pre-order it today and get it delivered tomorrow. His new book comes out, Live Free or Die, America and the World on the Brink. That comes out tomorrow in bookstores. And you get same-day delivery from places like Amazon. Go to SeanHannityBook.com. But I'll tell you, I know Sean, and we won't just be talking about the book. We'll be talking about a lot of issues. He's joining us for the full second half hour on tomorrow's broadcast. So don't forget to tune in or watch tomorrow. We'll be right back taking your calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are joined, you know, because we wanted to do a political show today, so I couldn't think of anybody better. And I got to work with him closely during the impeachment trial when he was at the White House, and in our role outside of the ACLJ representing President Trump, as we continue to do with the Supreme Court and others. But during the impeachment trial, Hogan was working as a deputy press secretary at the White House. Now he is the national, he's the head press secretary for the Trump re-election campaign. And Hogan Gidley, it is great to have you on Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us on short notice to give everybody an update on the Trump campaign. How are things going? There's been that kind of campaign reshuffle. And I know, Hogan, you know, with you joining the team as well, which I think is great because you're an excellent spokesperson. It's tried and true. But you've also got new ads going up as well across the country. Tell people about it.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you having me on, Jordan. It's great to talk to you again. And when they came in here and said, oh, Jay wants you on his show, I said, wonderful. And they said, oh, well, Jordan's hosting. I was like, no, forget it. I don't want it. No, I was really excited. I tell you, so many great things are going on over here. And as we start to head into the last 90 days of this thing, you know, some of these states are actually going to receive early voting and absentee ballots in the next 35 days. So this thing is moving really, really quickly. And, you know, it's important because, as you know, elections are about choices. And so what are your two choices here? You have someone in Joe Biden, and I always like to say this, campaigns a lot of times are about abstract, like here's what I want to do, here's what I could do, trust me to do these things. But you don't have to guess what the country would look like under Joe Biden. We saw it for 8 years. We saw depressed wages. We saw our economy tank. We saw our jobs going to China. Donald Trump changed all that and brought manufacturing back to this country. 500,000 manufacturing jobs, 7 million jobs created, not to mention more jobs than there were people to fill them in this country. I mean, we were riding high, but then that virus came in from China. And the president took bold early leadership. And you remember, we talked about this in the State of the Union, which Nancy Pelosi tore to shreds. And they were so focused on impeachment at the time. This president was talking about shutting down flights. They called him xenophobic and racist and just tried to throw another log on the impeachment hoax fire. And it never worked. And so this president took the leadership. They're the ones who tried to say it was the wrong thing to do, but it saved lives. And so while we get through this thing, we're going to come out stronger on the better end of it because of President Trump's leadership.
I want to take Vicky's call, Hogan, in Arkansas on line three. I know you spent a lot of time there with your work with Governor Huckabee. Vicky, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Vicky.
Yes, thank you.
You're on the air with us.
You know, if I could best describe President Trump, Toby Keith, a country music singer, has a song called American Soldier. That is totally Trump. If anyone would listen to it, that is President Trump.
Now,
he's such a guy, and I'm a Democrat.
You're a Democrat, Vicky.
Yes.
And so has President Trump changed you from becoming a Democrat? I want Hogan to listen to this. So you're a Democrat from Arkansas, and you're now, you've changed to becoming a Republican because of President Trump.
Yes, sir.
That is, Hogan, to me, that's why I look at all this polling, and I say, it's so meaningless because there's so many people out there like Vicky who have totally changed their party. They may not have legally changed their affiliation yet, but who they're going to vote for is totally different than how it was, you know, 5 years ago.
Absolutely. And is Vicky still on the call or no?
She's not with us anymore.
Okay. Well, listen, I got to tell you, she's absolutely representative of what we're seeing, Jordan. And the ad that we put up today, one of them was called Cards, and it features someone who's a member of the silent majority, saying all these things about Joe Biden we know to be true, that he is a empty vessel, that he has been filled by the radical socialist policies from the far left wing of the party that embraces things like defunding the police and $7 trillion in tax increases. He's embracing all of those policies now, you know, all of the amnesty for illegal immigrants, making sure they have free health care as well. You pay a fine if you're not if you're an American citizen and want Obamacare, but if you're an illegal alien, you get it free. I mean, this is the type of radical policies Joe Biden is now pushing out there, and it's caused people like Vicky who say, look, I used to be a Democrat, but I may not want to say it publicly, but I know who I'm voting for because Donald Trump has provided jobs, has provided an uplifting, unifying, patriotic message for this country because he wants to see us succeed. Everybody, African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American, women employed at record numbers under this president because of his policies. And so when you take a look at what he has done and what Joe Biden didn't do for his half of a century in office, the choice is very clear.
You know, Hogan, I know Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, working in Washington, D.C., is working with Congress on trying to get this stimulus through. I know President Trump is, too. He's also looking at unilateral actions he can take as president to help hurting Americans. But I know Than's got a question for you.
Yeah, Hogan, good to have you with us. I just wanted to ask you about what happened last week in the United States Senate when the Democrats declined to extend the unemployment insurance benefits for another week. I know there's a debate going on about what level that insurance should be at, but what's your reaction to the blocking of that short-term extension? It seemed to me that that would have provided some space for the stimulus to come together, but what's your take on that?
Well, obviously, that's something they're working on hard at the White House. We don't have really much insight into the negotiating process here at the campaign. But what I can tell you is exactly the point you just brought up, which is everyone looking at this says we just need some relief. I mean, it was the government who shut down businesses. The government owes this to the American people now. You're the ones who drove a truck through my living room. Now you got to be responsible for rebuilding the house and patching up the hole. And so often what you've seen on the left in this negotiation, I mean, remember, this is like the fourth or fifth iteration of this where trillions of dollars are being pumped directly into the bank accounts of the American people, and it should be. Democrats already held this thing up multiple times for Green New Deal nonsense, for packages that have nothing to do whatsoever with coronavirus, and you know it's nonsense because the same things they're talking about in this particular bill that have nothing to do with the pandemic we face, it's the same thing they were talking about before coronavirus hit. So you know it's all political. You know it's a power grab, but that's what they're about. And so I'm thankful we have a president who calls them out for it, but I'm also thankful we have a Republican Party that is working hard to try and provide the American people with the relief they deserve, with the relief they need.
Hogan, you know, it was great having you kind of shepherd us through the media side of the impeachment trial and then, of course, getting to know you better in those behind closed doors when we were not on the Senate floor through those 14 to 18 to 20-hour days when you were White House Deputy Press Secretary. Now you're the National Press Secretary for the Trump reelection campaign. I got a minute left here, but as a campaign guy myself, I got to ask you this question. How different is it? What is the campaign trying to do to campaign at a time when you can't do the traditional kind of campaign activities that someone like President Trump is great at?
Well, what's so amazing is what this campaign has built before I got here with all the online presence. It's like something you've never seen before.
Yeah,
so when
shows.
You have over a billion views, people are excited. They want to get out there and support the president, and they're going to do it any way that's available. And right now, it's the online methods. When we get this coronavirus thing under control, hopefully we'll do some more in-person stuff. But right now, people are excited. They're ready to get out and vote for this man because they want four more years of unparalleled success.
Great to have Hogan Gidley on live with us, National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign. And hey, we're going to invite the National Press Secretary for the Biden campaign. I'd love to have them on the broadcast, ask them some questions. We'll be, you know, equal time. Check out ACLJ.org. Follow everything we do. We'll be.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.